Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, broadcasting from Patriot-held territory. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash a Call Me Thursday.
Thrash them!
Now, we did not have a show yesterday.
Right.
Because we ran into some circumstances that had to be addressed for quite some time last night.
Yeah.
Because as some of you know, I'm running for Congress, and recently we've been having my big Congress signs stolen.
Yes.
and it's a huge crime in Washington state. It's actually $10,000 fine per sign.
Yes.
That if you even just tamper with them, apparently you're not supposed to touch them.
Right.
Let alone take them and the posts that are pounded into the ground to hold them
right.
up. And so, you know you're over the mark when people will steal your signs.
Yes.
And not let you be promoted. And so, so this has happened twice to us now. And so we came upon an incident yesterday that we thought was rather curious.
Very suspicious.
And so we had to follow up with it. And it took a very, very long time investigating just what was going on about another sign that we happened to come across with somebody acting very peculiar around it. So as it all worked out, yesterday was pretty much eaten up all through the night.
Yep.
And we were not able to produce a show yesterday, which was the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes, yesterday. It was. And today is the Feast of First Fruits. Now, there might be some confusion about that. I've been saying, first fruits are 2 days after not Passover. Passover. Well, going to Messianic Light, they talk about first fruits, and they say this year it's on April 24th or April 28th. When you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So that the scripture says in Leviticus 23 that this will be done on or after the Sabbath. So, which is the 18th of Nisan. But traditional Judaism and most Messianic Jewish congregations observe the first fruits on the day after the High Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or 16 Aviv. Many others observe it on the day after the weekly Sabbath, because it doesn't say which Sabbath, because the Passover is also considered a Sabbath. It's called what they call a High Sabbath.
Right.
So there's some confusion about, was this supposed to be after the High Sabbath, Passover?
Right.
Or is this supposed to be on the, the day after Sunday, or the first day of the week after the next Sabbath?
Right.
So there's some confusion on that. So in case you hear, it's Sunday. Well, it was Sunday when Christ was resurrected.
That's right.
Because of the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar and changes and all that kind of stuff, it clearly was, biblically, Christ was raised on a Sunday. But that's because of the lunar calendar doesn't follow the same calendar that we follow today. That's why you can have Passover on a Friday or a Wednesday or a Tuesday, depending on the year, because
the interesting thing there too is that Jesus was in the ground, or he was dead for 3 days.
3 days and three nights in the tomb.
Right.
And you think, well, if he was killed on a Friday and raised on Sunday, that doesn't equate.
How's that possible, right?
You're right. It doesn't equate. That's because the Sabbath, the Passover is considered a Sabbath. And so that's why They had the Last Supper on Wednesday night, and Thursday was the preparation day for Passover, when they killed the lamb. When the priests were slaughtering the lamb, Christ was being slaughtered. The perfect lamb was being killed on the cross.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So when he died, the lamb died amazingly at the same time, because that's the eve of the Passover. That's when the Passover begins at sundown, which is why they were frantically trying to get his body off the cross so they could put him in the tomb before the Sabbath, not Saturday, the high Sabbath, or Passover,
right,
which is a Sabbath. So that was on a Friday. Then you have the regular weekly sixth day, or the seventh day Sabbath, which is to us Saturday. And then he rose on Sunday, which was the third day.
Yep.
So hopefully I didn't muddle that up, and I actually added some clarification to that.
Yeah, you did, absolutely, because there's a lot of confusion about that statement where Jesus says that I will be in the earth for 3 days and three nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish.
Right.
And so everybody's always been like, how's that possible if this happened on a Friday and then he's resurrected on a Sunday? He was not in there for 3 days. Well, he was.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing too. Unfortunately, Christians today dismiss Old Testament and Jewish culture and our feasts and all of that.
That's right.
And they don't know how to, and because of that, they don't know how to answer when a skeptic says the Bible's full of discrepancies and contradictions. Like here, he was killed on a Friday and he rose on Sunday. And it says he was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Well, Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock to Sunday morning at sunrise is not 3 days and three nights. And they're, you know, Christians are sitting there going, well, he's kind of right. I don't know how to answer that.
That's right.
You know, so this is just another practical reason why it's important for us to understand the feasts and these things. So
I think that's an excellent explanation and can help hopefully clarify for everyone listening. You know, now that we're more or less all on board, understanding that just because it's new to us doesn't mean that we keep on walking away from it or turning away from it.
Right.
We now understand that God calls us all, and when he calls you, you darn well better show up.
Yes.
And so don't ever miss a single of his feasts. And in fact, the Bible does say very clearly many different times that God calls them, these are my feasts, with
yes,
a capital M. He says that over and over. These are my feasts. And just like how we read on Tuesday, he says that when I called and nobody would hear and nobody would listen, well, then he's that's something that is very insulting to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so it's, I think it's fantastic. It's good to learn this stuff so that we've all got it in our belt full of knowledge that
right,
we are supposed to be equipped with, that we can understand the Lord and his character better.
Right.
So.
Yep. Well, speaking of his character, let's get into the word of the day and find out what he has in store for us this day on this Resurrection Day, Nisan 18.
That's right.
Thursday.
Well, this is a random turning from Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 14.
Okay.
That reads under the title, Defilement Comes from Within. Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Mm. And that's it. And
wow.
And so,
you know, if Christ showed up today to do a ministry, he would turn the modern Christian church on its head.
Oh, definitely.
Yep. Because it's very interesting. They tried challenging him. Why do you transgress the traditions of our forefathers? And he's like, why do you transgress against God?
Yep.
You know, and it's true. They put forth traditions of men as God's word, as doctrine, right?
Yep.
And they forsake God's word. And we see that even today.
Yep, that's right.
And you can't tell them that, though. They get offended. They want to kill you. They act like you're part of a cult. I mean, just look at the journey of, hey, look at what the Bible says about the Sabbath. And begin keeping the Sabbath and yep. see how Christians act.
Yep, that's right.
It is bizarre, actually. It's and of course, I got to give some grace. I was very resistant to that, you know, for all the, using all the same arguments, you know, well, we're not under the law today, or, you know, this Jesus was raised on a Sunday, or
that's right.
Whatever. But the more I had to be honest with myself as I was reading the scriptures, those arguments just were not holding up. They were coming unraveled.
Well, right. And it's what everybody is educated that has grown up in the common Sunday church. Everybody is educated with reinforced ministry all the time.
Yes.
That it's a biblical reason that the church now goes on Sunday and not Saturday. And that is not true. It's right. a historical reason that happened 324 years after Christ's ascension.
Yes.
And it was the whole thing was changed by Constantine, a yes. mere man. A mere man changed it,
right.
Not Jesus, not Jesus's resurrection. There's absolutely zero backup in the Bible to change Saturday to Sunday, and
or to forsake the Passover and replace it with Easter.
That's right, or Christmas. To celebrate Christmas.
We've been talking a lot about that recently, and in fact, in my research here, learning about the Passover and the 16th of Nisan, and then on the 18th of Nisan is, you know, first fruits and all of this research. I started looking at biblical calendars and finding out that the Gregorian calendar, you know, was switched. The Julian calendar was switched to the Gregorian calendar. And it was in the, I think, the 15 or 1600s. I have to look again, where Pope, Gregory, like the 16th or something, he adjusted their calendar 10 days to accommodate Easter.
Right.
Because it was drifting by, you know, over hundreds of years. It had, their calendar started, was drifting, and Easter's now, you know, like way down the road or coming too early. However he adjusted it, it was for Easter that he did that, which is not biblical. In fact, it's pagan. And fascinating, what a fascinating thing to stumble across all these little factlets that are far removed from us. We do everything we do now by much of it by tradition of men, which is exactly right. what Jesus was confronting right here in the scripture you read.
That's right. And here's the, I mean, this is the scary part, because God is not kidding. God does not say things for no reason.
No.
He doesn't say something and then expect us to just gloss over them and have him be okay with it. You know,
right.
it's not okay when he is very specific and tells us how he wants things to be done, how he wants things to be observed, how he wants to be worshiped, how he wants to be loved, and or even how he wants us to give him gifts through sacrifices or sacrifices of thanksgiving,
yes.
those kind of things. He's very specific. And so to be flippant about any of it is like poking God in the eye and being like, I don't care what you think. It's about me.
Right.
You know, and that's that is a very, very dangerous place to be. And just like how he was insulted by the fact that when he called them to his feasts and they wouldn't listen and they ignored him, he said in Isaiah 66, verses 3 and 4, he says, just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and choose that in which I do not delight. And then in the end, of course, it says, those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, says the Lord.
Right.
And so this is where he says, you go right ahead because I'm going to let you have it your way.
Right.
And this is, and where it's going to lead you is going to be someplace you definitely don't want to be. And so where it also says, you know, pray that you be found worthy to not have to go through the great tribulation.
Yes.
Right. There's reasons he's saying that, because there are those of us that are not found worthy.
Right.
And
who call them Christians.
Right.
Who are not worthy.
Who are not walking in his ways, who are not following his commandments, who obviously are insulting God all over the place. Maybe they don't even know about it. That's why we're describing these things, right, to help people. And but right here, this is another severe warning in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew that we just read. Again, it says, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So these pastors that are describing things that go against his commandments,
right,
things
against
against his word, that seek to worship him in a pagan way, these are insults, if not outright crimes against the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
But that's the warning where Jesus says, don't worry, those lost people, they will take care of each other, because it's going to be the blind leading the blind into a ditch and they'll both fall into the ditch.
Right.
And so that's a dangerous place to be.
Oh, sure.
I mean, none of us want to be blind following a blind leader,
right,
who doesn't know any of this stuff and can't direct people onto the narrow path and say,
yes,
this is what he said specifically. Don't ignore it.
That is such a great point. And I would say at this point, we have, over the recent years, we've had listeners who are faithful, regular listeners. We will say something like this, like what we're talking about right now, and it's new to them.
Right.
So they go to who do they go to for clarification? Hey, I was listening to this radio show and they said this. What do you have to say? Naturally, the pastor is right there in the same camp, whether he knows it or not. He may love the Lord, but he's the blind leading the blind.
Right.
And he will go in there and subvert what you said, what we have said.
Because he doesn't know any better
either.
And
he's like, oh, that's not, well, look, we're not under the law. Or whatever reason he will give to counter something that we will say. And I would say this. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to your pastor.
Right.
Go to the Word of God,
yep,
and start researching it yourself.
Yep.
What does God's Word have to say about it? Find for me, this is a challenge, find Easter in the Bible and send me the scripture.
Yep. That's
because
right.
I'm just dying to read it. Okay. And find for me where we are no longer to keep the Sabbath. This
That's
is a
right.
challenge.
Yep.
And find for me the scripture that says Christians from now on will keep Sunday as your Sabbath and abandon Saturday or the seventh day as your Sabbath. Please
That's right.
send the scriptural backing for precisely where it says to do that or to not do that. And we'll have a discussion. So yep,
absolutely, because it's important that we open this to everyone that listens, because it's not our word, it's God's word.
Yeah, we're not making this up. We're reading to you God's word.
Yep, and this isn't our ideas. This is exactly what we've read, and we're also very concerned about all those people that are going to be found unworthy that will have to go through the great tribulation. And we don't want those people to be any of you. We want our listeners to have heard the truth from us that we read out of the word itself, that you will be found worthy.
Yes. And also, you know, approach this prayerfully, because there are scriptures that warn against those who would cause division in the church. Granted. But Christ also said, I did not come to bring unity, I came to bring division.
That's right.
And so this is where you need to rightfully divide the word. Division, okay, don't cause division. Cast those people out of the church that are causing strife and division. Or Christ saying, I'm coming to bring division. That's what you need to reconcile right there.
Well, exactly. And especially with the Saturday, the big thing is figure out who the original divider was. The original divider was Satan working through Constantine, a Roman emperor.
Yes.
And that was one of Satan's greatest victories, was having a man declare that Saturday was no longer the day of worship, the day of rest, but he changed it to Sunday. And so so that would be the original division causer. And that would be, you know, that was satanic led, greatest victory Satan ever had over the Ten Commandments.
Right. And a lot of it is...
So this is a correction back to the correct order.
Exactly. This is like this creeping gradualism that took place that got the Pharisees off course from God's word, following traditions. When Christ tries to give them a course correction, they accuse him of causing division.
Right.
This is just like in America, where somebody comes along and says, Marxism, communism, and we say, no, Constitution, and they look at us and say, why are you causing division?
Exactly.
This is exactly what's happening here. So this is such a great deception, such a great delusion that we're seeing sweep our whole country. This is why, when you see Christians talk about Israel carrying out
genocide
against the Palestinians.
Yep.
Okay, you've got somebody claiming to be a Christian who is espousing the same talking points as the godless, as the drag queen crowd, as the queer Hamas Palestine crowd, as the anti-Israel crowd, they're stop and do a check when you hear somebody that's spewing the same narrative as the people that are destroying our country and stand against everything that we stand for.
That's right.
And you find yourself repeating what they're saying, there needs to be a very serious, sobering evaluation.
Exactly. And what a fascinating segue, because after the break, we've got some really wonderful clips to share with you about how this lying media, the complicit commie coup lying media, is now cannibalizing itself. And this is the same media that Christians are being misled by and siding with Palestinians, the Islamic people that are
under
Hamas terrorism and claiming to be victims.
Yeah, absolutely. So hitting you right between the eyes with some truth here, and hopefully challenging some of you on some conventional thinking that we all need to return to the ancient paths. That's what the Bible says, and discover those. And one of the things that we've lost is the fear of the Lord that we need to restore.
That's right.
Because he is holy, and he's righteous, and he's just. Yes, he's merciful. His mercies are renewed each day. And we thank him for that. But God doesn't just have one side to him, mercy and grace. without justice and righteousness.
Well, exactly, because if that was the case, like we were saying, if this was all just the case that, oh, he's just our buddy, we can gloss over stuff we don't like that he says, right. We'll just ignore that part, right? No, when don't.
Strictly, don't, explicitly says not to.
Right. Ignore don't it. Don't do that. Right. Do yourself a favor and don't do that. Be blessed, not cursed.
Yes.
Side with everything Jesus says. Stick to him like super glue. And yep. And again,
set before you two choices, life and death. Choose life. That's what he says.
Right. And just the fact that he's willing in verse 14 to not even try to convince those people. Just, you know what? I give up on them. Let the blind lead the blind into the ditch together.
Right. Right.
The fact that he's willing to let them go and do that, and he's not out there trying to pamper them and baby them and pat them along and cush everything
try
for them.
Try to win them and, over and yeah, convince them nope, through arguments nope, and he rational.
He just says, let them alone. They are the yep. blind leaders of the blind, and they will both fall into the ditch.
That's right. So don't be blind and don't be led by the blind. Go to God's word. All right, stick around. This segment, we'll be back right after these messages. This segment brought to you by JesusAppears.com. Make sure you are rapture ready. Don't get left behind. The return of our King is imminent. JesusAppears.com. Check it out. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. The Son of Man. That's why I'm giving all the glory.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
I'm Renee Holiday. I'm announcing my candidacy for Congress for District 5 in Eastern Washington as a strong conservative Christian MAGA Republican. We are currently in an existential crisis in America because of weak leadership who have failed to place God first over this nation. They have also failed to keep their oaths of office to uphold and defend the Constitution and the rights of the individual. They have failed to secure our elections and have opened our border to an invasion from over 172 countries. America has never been more vulnerable to attack than we are now. I'm running because Eastern Washington needs a rep with some spine that can stand up to this lawless regime and help bring America back under the safety of our Constitution by securing our elections and closing our border. I have already written the congressional bill to do just that and have been publicly pushing it for the past year. Eastern Washington needs a fighter with a record of being effective in fighting the globalists, and that fighter is me. I have been fighting the globalists for 18 straight years and have written 2 books about it. Eastern Washington needs an effective fighter in D.C., and that fighter is me, Renee Holiday. I need your vote on August 6th, but I need your support right now to kick off my campaign. I'm running to win and to take America back, and I can only do this with your support. Let's get it done together. So you can go to my campaign website at ReneeHolidayForCongress.com. It's spelled ReneeHoladay forCongress.com.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Renee Holiday, Washington Congressional District 5. Welcome back, Patriots, to segment 2 of the Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty, coming at you from the American Redoubt. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, everyone, well, good morning to you, and everyone, welcome back to Thrash Call Me Thursday.
Thrash 'em. Also, well, you know who needs some thrashing is these college students.
They do. They need to just be spanked.
They're screaming like, and
like
yelling.
Like little children. They need to be treated as such.
Yeah, at the top of their lungs. We are Hamas. You're a terrorist raping baby dismembering, family killing, kidnapping. Is that what you are?
Right.
Really?
Right. Really?
Unbelievable. We've got some clips, some audio clips. Give the rundown on that. But first, I saw the greatest meme. Here is a side-by-side comparison. I wish we were visual right now. Thomas Jefferson on the left and the repulsive 44th president, who shall not be named, on the right. So here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Thomas Jefferson. Now, here's this, community organizer from Chicago says, they'll warn you that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should just reject these voices.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. No, I think I'll go with Thomas Jefferson, actually.
Yeah.
I think he had a little more together, and though he wasn't a communist homosexual, so.
Well, and you know, that's the thing, too, is of course your enemies are always going to want everything to happen.
Right.
To your downfall, to your detriment. Yeah. And so why would they ever want you to have a leg up on what they're doing or for that matter, how to stop them?
Yes,
right?
Yes. Well, back to these Hamas tyrants, these terrorists at our college universities calling for the destruction of Jews, killing Jews, destroying Israel. Now they're saying destroy America. This rhetoric that they're talking about, pro-terrorist rhetoric, is going to turn to terrorism. At some point, it's coming.
And
that's
right.
These people are, they are...
They're testing the waters right now.
Absolutely. They're trying to push through the door. So we've got clashes between pro-Hamas protesters and security forces at the University of Texas in Austin. Also, Marxist students violently storm Harvard lawn. In a decisive crackdown, Harvard University has suspended the Radical Palestine Solidarity Committee, citing domestic terror activities. And then that happens. And then protests turn violent at the University of Southern California, USC campus. All of them screaming pro-Hamas rhetoric.
Well, and also at the New York University, that was
yes.
Quite the... I would say it was a... That's not just a rally.
No.
It's not a peaceful gathering. They're throwing chairs at the cops, and they actually had the
right.
Cops on the run in New York, and the police had to go into a building to escape this mob.
That's just pathetic. And on top of that, we're seeing all these videos now from these different universities where these pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist students are locking arms at the entrances to prevent Jews from entering. And one Jewish rabbi told the Jews, don't even come on campus, it's too dangerous. And now these college universities are announcing that they're going to discontinue classes because of the danger to Jews.
That's right.
And they're going to have all their classes at $70,000 a year
right.
over Zoom.
Right.
This, there's no way this should be tolerated. This should not be happening in our country. And the response is, we denounce it. We denounce it in the strongest possible terms. And this is what Benjamin Netanyahu was saying. He addressed this. And what's appalling is that this is not being denounced and forced against, you know, responded to with forcefully by the college campuses. Shame on them. How about rounding up and kicking all of these students out of these universities that are fomenting all of this?
That's right. If they're foreign students, they need to be expelled and sent back home.
Expelled, and the ones that aren't foreign students, they should be arrested for trespassing as soon as they step foot on the lawn after they're expelled. But they're not. And this is a travesty that never should be happening in our country. This is what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally. But that's not what happened. The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done. It has to be done not only because they attack Israel, that's bad enough. Not only because they want to kill Jews wherever they are, that's bad enough. It's also, when you listen to them, it's also because they say not only death to Israel, death to the Jews, but death to America. And this tells us that there is an anti-Semitic surge here that has terrible consequences. We see this exponential rise of anti-Semitism throughout America and throughout Western societies as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists. Genocidal terrorists who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide. Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. It's all one big libel. But that's not new. We've seen in history that anti-Semitic attacks were always preceded by vilification and slander. Lies that were cast against the Jewish people that are unbelievable, yet people believe them. And what is important now is for all of us who are interested and are, cherish our values and our civilization, to stand up together and to say enough is enough. We have to stop anti-Semitism because anti-Semitism is the canary in the coal mine. It always precedes larger conflagrations that engulf the entire world. So I ask all of you, Jews and non-Jews alike, who are concerned with our common future and our common values, to do one thing. Stand up, speak up, be counted. Stop anti-Semitism now.
Amen to that.
No kidding. Especially, gosh, you know, that was one of my areas of intensive research and study in college for sociology was the study of the Holocaust and,
right,
and the false science of eugenics. And This is exactly that, and all the lead up to it, where you know that it's they're making the Jews out to be these horrible people, and even allowing the enemies of the Jews to have any kind of a voice at all in this nation, where we are allies with them, with Israel.
Right.
There are allies,
yep,
from ever since they got there in 1947 and 1948. We have always supported them.
Right.
And so, you know, we've got Traitor Johnson, who has, you know, more or less,
ooh,
thrown America under the bus, and yet he is defending Jewish students at Columbia University. He went there to deliver remarks and to ask the president of Columbia University to resign. And so at least he is doing the right thing by the way of our ally in Israel. And he's trying to get legislation passed to make it a crime to have anti-Semitic protests.
Right.
And so, you know, good on him for that. It's just, it's hard to say anything good about this guy, but I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due, because if he's standing up for Israel and he's standing up for the Jews, then he's doing that part right.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, absolutely. We can't tolerate that. We can't tolerate this disgusting behavior, not for a single
second.
Not
in America.
Nope. I'll
tell you that.
Not anywhere.
These people are not Americans. They're terrorists.
That's right. And they're coming after us. They're coming after the Christians. And so this thing,
right,
this thing where they're focusing on the Jews right now, that's just for right now. They're actually here to destroy America.
Yes. And Christians and Jews.
Yep.
Well, just like what Bibi just said, this is the canary in the coal mine is the anti-Semitism. Christians are next. Look at
that's the whole
Germany under Hitler.
That's the whole point of jihad.
Yeah.
Is to wipe out the Christians and the Jews.
Right.
Period.
Yep. And the Marxists are all too happy to oblige.
Yep, exactly.
I'll tell you what, this is sure turning the liberal Jews, the Marxist Jews. Sure is spinning their little theoretical world. It's not working out how they thought.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, maybe this is just what's needed. Shake the conservatives, the Christians, and the Jews to their senses.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, it's about getting back on track in the right way. And of course, this is Passover week. You know, just the fact that all of right. this is going on during Passover, that is when the enemy will attack. They think they're attacking the Jews, but it's traditionally a Jesus holiday. Right. Everything about Passover is Jesus and Christian.
Yeah.
So, you know, that truly is our holiday as well. And so it's no coincidence that they picked right now to be ramping this all up.
Sure. Well, this wouldn't be happening if Trump was in office, I'll tell you that. And boy, they are trying to do everything they can to make sure that he doesn't. Remember the video? Saw a video earlier when Biden was trying to give some campaign speech, reading his teleprompter, and he says, 4 more years, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Or imagine what we can accomplish with 4 more years.
Right.
Break. Oops.
Yeah.
Not supposed to read that part.
Yep.
On his teleprompter. Oh my gosh. And he stared at it and went,
Right, oh, exactly.
Pathetic.
Well, and, you know, speaking along those lines, we've got this excellent clip here. This is a Fox clip with Jonathan Turley, who's a law professor and a Fox contributor. And they're describing what is going on with this hush money case about Trump and how there's gag orders on him. What's interesting is that it's taking this crazy turn to where everybody's going, what's the crime? There is no crime. They can't even figure out what this lawsuit is actually accusing him
of. Asking this months ago.
Because there's no crime. There's no crime. And they're still dragging him through courts with no crime. They're not accusing him of anything specific. They're just making him show up. Listen to what Professor Turley has to say about this.
They're accusing him of being Donald Trump.
Right.
But their April 2023 disappointment, even disbelief over the weakness of this case, has now become excitement, even anticipation. Their old concerns magically melting away. Joining me now, Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, Fox News contributor. Professor, I love going back and watching these old clips because now they're kind of in with the brag attempt to bootstrap, you know, some conspiracy references into their opening statements and now campaign finance violations. What the heck is going on here with this evolving spin?
I don't know, because this case is quickly becoming incomprehensible. I mean, the newest theory that they gave just as the trial was starting is that we have another dead misdemeanor. And the misdemeanor is that Trump conspired by promoting his own election unlawfully. But they don't explain really where the unlawful part is. They also don't explain how denoting this as a legal expense later affected the 2016 election. It just doesn't seem to matter to anyone in that courtroom that this is utter nonsense and that this is not a campaign violation in terms of contributions. The federal government did not believe there was grounds to charge anything in this case. Many experts reject that whole concept. And so what we're watching here is something that I've never seen the likes of. I mean, the judge is allowing this farce to unfold in his courtroom, and everyone just seems to be treating this like they're actually trying a known crime. When you have people still debating, not just on this network, what the crime was that Trump was trying to conceal, it's something that's out of a Fellini movie. It's just crazy.
Professor, what would you say? Let's say you were doing a seminar, like a criminal defense seminar for third year law students, and they were actually trying to convince you that this was a state crime rising to the level of a felony with these facts. I wouldn't want to see what you graded this theory on if they had to write a paper trying to argue this.
Well, I remember I had a professor in law school who would always say, that's an interesting argument, but it doesn't pass the red face test. You have to be able to make that argument in court and not get a red face. And this is one of those things I tell the students. You're trying too hard. That is, the gravitational pull of who the defendant is warping your judgment. Mm. And at some point, you have to decide what is more important. Go ahead.
At some point, it becomes an indictment both of the press, of these legal minds who actually have a lot of experience in court. So they're indicting themselves by, you know, letting their they despise Trump. So they want this to kind of fit into the box that Alvin Bragg has constructed, and it doesn't work.
And again, well, and Laura Ingraham's right there. It turns into them indicting themselves because,
yes.
Because what this is actually going to end up being is I would go for the throat if I was Trump. I would be turning the tables on every single one of these people so hard and accusing them of the crime of election interference and
yep.
making those charges stick, because there is up to 5 years in prison with anybody that gets into this election interference.
Right.
And so he could be bringing the offense big time right now and making these people eat it, because that's exactly what should be happening. They're committing the crime.
Right.
It's a crime, a prosecutable crime that needs to be enforced.
Yes.
And I mean, seriously, he's getting drugged through all this stuff. He shouldn't even be there. Everybody says it. This is a joke. And he's going along with it. He actually needs to step back, regroup, and refocus his attorney team on the attack and start attacking these criminal prosecutors and criminal judges
right.
that are committing the crime of election interference and seek to have them fined, prosecuted, put in jail, whatever is going to happen.
Yes.
And, you know, the other thing here, too, is that Alvin Bragg is still trying to push this Stormy Daniels case that is talk about beating a dead horse. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And again, it's just election interference. How many charges of election interference does he want to be facing? And I mean, I think that really is that's probably the best bet Trump has to get these guys off his back is to turn a counter offense.
Yep, absolutely.
And especially when it says here, this article with this Stormy Daniels garbage, it says that the judge hands a win to Stormy Daniels by crushing the Trump subpoena. She was issued a subpoena and she wouldn't even look at the person serving it to her. And he dropped it at her feet and she just walked past him as if he wasn't even there. And so the judge said, just ignore his subpoena. So, you know, just the fact that that's going on also criminal one
right.
committing one crime after another, and they're acting like they're indicting him.
Right.
What a joke.
Keep him tied up. Keep him from running for office and trying to, as they might, to get a conviction.
Yep.
You know, but
that's not lawful. There's not a darn thing that they're doing that is legal right now.
No,
He needs to turn the table aggressively right now and bring it down.
That's exactly what we see. This is what communists do.
Yep.
Wow, unbelievable.
Right. Well, we've got one last clip here where we've got the fake news starting to turn in on itself and cannibalize because they're starting to understand that they could also be implicated in this communist coup takeover here before too long if Trump actually gets back into office, because they're absolutely complicit. So now they're starting to point the fingers at each other going, no, you're fake news. No, you're fake news. No, we're real journalists. No, you're,
right.
you know.
Yes.
And so listen to this little clip here. This is interesting.
What about pushing the Russia collusion hoax? Was that good journalism? They got everything wrong. They keep getting everything wrong. They totally misread Middle America. They don't care about them. They think they're awful people. Then they lecture us. This is real journalism. Get out of town. Joining me now, Chris Bedford, political columnist, and Byron York, Washington chief examiner, chief political correspondent, Fox News contributor. Chris, I love the pearl clutching about real reporters and real journalism. A little bit ironic, maybe?
It's more than a little ironic. I mean, they've got a point that the National Enquirer's paying for stories doesn't fit the bill, but neither does anything that we've seen from a lot of their outlets for the last couple of years. I mean, one of my favorite courses that I took in a largely wasted degree, which was journalism, was ethics and the certain things that you're supposed to do when things that were very, very basic, like diagnosing someone as mentally ill when you're a news reporter. That's something you're not supposed to do. That was a lesson we learned in the 60s. It's something that CNN would do every single day to Donald Trump. Chasing down stories, trying to suppress stories, NPR coming out with some kind of big convoluted reason for why they wouldn't cover an obviously true Biden laptop story. Ethics have gone out the window with these folks, so to hear the lectures is just hysterical.
Yeah. Well, ethics, what's that?
Well, it, yeah.
We're talking about communists.
We're talking about mass media for the communists. And so, you know, they the only source that they can find lower than them that is, you know, more deceptive than them is the National Enquirer.
Right.
That's really not, that's not saying much for their, on their behalf.
Oh, yeah. That's CNN, NPR saying that the National Enquirer is not real journalism.
Yeah, because that's the only one that they look better than is the National Enquirer. Well, you know, and Fox is railing against them as well. So, you know, all of these mass media outlets, they've all been perps in this area. Every last single one of them.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting to watch unfold, for sure. Well, thank God for independent media.
That's right. Yep.
News and podcasts, where all the misinformation is talked about, you know, and spread. Like, you know, Israel is our ally, Hamas are terrorists, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be sending, our border is unsecure, we're being invaded.
Yeah, it's that nothing kind of but election fraud after election fraud.
Oh, exactly. Masks don't help. The vaccines are deadly.
Our leaders are heavily involved in and supporting child trafficking across our wide open border.
Half of them are pedophiles. Right.
Yeah, all of this is the truth. That you get it here. You get it all right here. The truth in the news from a biblical perspective.
That's right. And more tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute. We look forward to you joining us. Until then, you be safe out there and be vigilant. Pray for the Republic and pray for Israel.
That's right. You all have a thankful First Fruits and a thankful Thrash Economy Thursday as well. And we just wish you all blessings to all of our wonderful MAGA Christian patriots out there.